Welcome to the Marshmallow Cast. We kindly ask that you do not become a marshmallow.
Need to welcome everybody to the number one Marshmallow Podcast. First.
Take two.
We are already marshmallows and against our own procedures. We didn't test nothing.
So I'm Bruce. We have to start again. Take 10.
Take two. Test. Welcome to the Marshmallow Podcast with the Gammons.
The Gammons grind. It's Parker and Bruce. The first. Hopefully many.
Yeah. He's the old man. I'm the son.
And if you're listening to this, I wouldn't disconnect, especially if you're in the trades. Try to run a small business. Maybe you're not in the trades. Maybe you're still running a small business.
Yeah, I think of a lot of businesses that I look at. Mechanic, you know, auto mechanic. You can just see it now, you know, they're doing some things that we did for a lot of years.
So now we can tell the audience, hopefully there's an audience, what marshmallow means.
Yeah. Yeah. Marshmallow eaters are people that, here's the background. So the book Be Like Amazon by Roy H. Williams says, explain this time where they put a couple kids in a room and they gave them one marshmallow and the people left the room. They said, if you don't eat the marshmallow, we'll give you another marshmallow. But if you eat it, you're done with the testing. And, you know, obviously a majority of the people ate the marshmallow as soon as the person left the door. And then they studied these kids for a long time, and the ones that didn't eat the marshmallow is they were just more successful in life. And so Roy puts in the book, it's just people that just, I don't know, eat up all the crap everybody says, or just says things that they have no meaning behind it. Dad and I call them marshmallow eaters. Don't be a marshmallow eater. And we were big marshmallow eaters, and I'm sure we're still eating a bunch of marshmallows to this day.
Yeah, I don't even like them, but I think we are still doing that, but we've also recognize what marshmallow eating is. I think that's the biggest key is.
Yeah.
So
Dad is in heating and cooling. We're in Maine, so he runs Gammons, the heating and cooling business. I have PG Electric. I'm gonna run an electrical. We're both home service, so we're both residential. And the topic of today is
why people fail, right?
Why people fail, and we're gonna go through our failures, which his was. I really wouldn't call it failure, but I guess his story is pretty incredible, and if you're still listening to this, I would not tune off, because this is very helpful in life and business, no matter what business you have. Coming from a very experienced guy, just his background has led him to a spot where last year or the year before, the business kind of came to an abrupt halt. He said, we're not giving up. So I would start with your...
2 years ago.
2 years ago, I would start with your...
And, yeah. So my background's in HVAC and refrigeration since before Parker was born, which was 1999. So it was before Jamie was born, 97. So like 1995. 5 and 6. It's 30 years ago.
I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Yeah. Well, so that's my background, HVAC. And
yeah, I'll do mine real quick. A lot of people that know me, I've been in the trades my whole life. I was a kid riding the back of the van with Dad all the time. I was 10 years old. We go out on calls at night. It would be a blizzard up on top of a roof, freezing. And then I got into electrical, mainly because I wanted to get into HVAC, and that was the first thing to learn. And I just stuck with electrical because I came really confident with it. And now I also have a business that crapped the bed. But Dad's been, he's had a couple companies, and he's bounced. He used to, I don't know, you're gonna have to, he started out of business when he was my age, mid 20s.
Probably the same age you when you started yours. So
yeah, I was 22.
So 2002 or 3, something like that. So yeah, get started in the trade young, just like you. Started a business by fault. Sick of working for somebody else. We're gaming, so we don't like listening to too many people. Probably why we go what we go through.
Yep.
And then started a company at a young age with young kids, doing refrigeration, HVAC, so heating, cooling, refrigeration, whatever, in those, whatever fit in that wheelhouse I could do to make money. Sheet metal, ductwork. And started my own sheet metal shop. You know, I had some money to spend, so I might as well buy a sheet metal shop. That was smart. Like, wow, I made money off that job. Let's buy a sheet metal shop.
Yeah.
And, but no regrets, right? So went through that and pretty much had the blessings of all those burdens of going through that era. And created quite a mess, and then went back to work for somebody for business and other reasons, other things going on outside of business. And worked for somebody for a period of time, and then decided at that point I didn't want to work for anybody else. And I know it all. Still think I do. But I was probably quite the know-it-all. I was very confident in my service work, I guess. And had a lot of great mentors out in the field through the years. Learned a lot the hard way, probably, as we all do. And then left that company, started back with all partnered up with somebody, not legally, but went to work with a guy that was a plumber, and I was going to do the HVAC, and let's go do this again, and we don't even know what we're doing, but, you know, and then that failed, so my friendship with that person went by the wayside, and, you know, probably the biggest jerk on the planet,
yeah,
according to him, and that's okay. And then after that, you know, customers wanted me back and kept doing work for them, and which was the reason I started anyways. Customers always wanted me there. And the company I was working for, customers were asking where I went. And they told them I was on my own, so I was picking up customers. That was never a problem. Plenty of work to go around, especially when people like you.
Little nugget right there.
And ran my own business and hired a consultant. I'm trying to think back why we originally hired somebody to consult. It went through Oh, I decided I would get in the food equipment world.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go do food equipment. I can't run in the heating and cooling business right. I can fix anything out there. Just can't run the business right. Can't do the refrigeration business right. So, sheet metal business. Now let's do another business and not do that right. So let's do food equipment, right? And my mother's cousin came to work for us, who had years of experience as a technician doing food equipment. So we decided to bring him in. I should get him on a podcast. And let's go do food equipment. It looks good on the side of the truck.
Yeah.
You know, it looks good to my friends and family. Oh, yeah, they do food equipment too.
We're a one-stop shop, baby.
Great. Yeah. Probably should have sold gasoline too. So we did that. And pretty unsuccessful at it. And had a consultant I met through the food equipment industry, who I'm still friends with to this day, that really wasn't maybe on the operational side of the business, but more on the personal mentoring side. I met some great people through them. Then I brought another consultant in who was great with the number side of the business. And probably the biggest key with both of those is maybe I listened to, took a few things, ran with them, but really didn't implement them. Full boat, right? So then, you know, the next shiny object showed up of another person that's got some new stuff out there and looks great, and let's bring them in. And boom, we come in and
another
doubled our sales. And
yeah, I mean, you grew like 200% a year or something like that.
First couple months.
Yeah. So, I mean,
selling $500,000 a month.
You went from $2 million a year to selling, sales was six, revenue was ended up being four.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I think we talked about this before that people listening, hopefully you are, sales revenue and sales and revenue were two different things.
Yeah.
And I actually hope that a lot of our competitors around here listen to this too, because you know what? I don't want to see them fail.
What does Craig say? I'm glad you said that, because I hope they listen too. All boats come up on a rising tide together.
Right.
So if your competitors are doing well, it's actually a better chance you're going to do well as well too. Believe it or not.
That's right. And so we grew our sales. Then we decided we started struggling, actually. My daughter came in, helped us out for a little while on the office end, operationally a little bit. And we, did you come in before our big news or after?
I came in right before. It was the first week I was there, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, Parker comes in the week before. So we took our messy business. We were like, well, let's bring another messy business in, and let's merge the two messy businesses.
So my business, which I think was, in my head at the time, was self-operating with good people, and they were great people.
Oh, yeah. My buddy Tommy says there's a lot of great people in this world.
Yeah. So I think, you know what? Dad, it's time for us to merge. This is going to be great. He's thinking the same thing. And so I had the plan that we came up with was I'll go over to Gammons and PG Electric will run itself for a while before we actually make the legal binding merge. And my first week, probably his first or second week over there, we had to sit down as a family and have a pretty tough conversation between us. And it was a Friday night.
Late Friday night.
We were just got off the phone call with somebody that went through Gammon's finances. And they said, I would give up the keys. You guys are $1 million in debt.
you just cut payroll, you're in negative $30,000 in the bank account. And how it's a Friday night. So we sat down as a family and said, you know, this is, there was some tears flying and some emotions, as you can imagine. And, you know, what do you do? It's a Friday night. We're negative 30 in the hole.
We should end the podcast right there and say, what should we do?
Yeah, Ms. comment Joker, in.
What would people say?
We had 15 employees, by the way. And I'll be honest, I was sitting across from Dad, and obviously the motive in the room was, we got to give this up. We got to tell everybody not to come in Monday. We can't pay them next week. So, and I could see Dad just stare, kind of letting everybody rant and staring down at the ground. And then he looked up. People had left, and it just was him and I. And I was just thinking, what is going on in that crazy brain of yours to sit here and think that? I know you're going to say that we can make it out of this somehow. And he looked up and said, I just don't see why we would quit. I don't see the advantage of that. So, you know, him and I got on a whiteboard that for a long time that night, and you got on the phone with a bankruptcy attorney.
Yeah, I literally called a bankruptcy attorney shortly after that meeting. And I remember the guy called back after everybody left. When I say everybody in the meeting, it was me, you, your sister,
yeah,
and Jenna. And he called back on his cell phone from home. It's probably 10 o'clock at night. And said to me, there's no reason to file bankruptcy. I don't see a reason to file bankruptcy here. And I remember repeating that to Jenna and everybody else, and they're like, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't believe this for 1 second.
Oh, so we were locked up on COD with vendors. No vendor was, we had no line of credit.
Oh my God, poor people with COD. Yeah. If I hear somebody make a comment about COD in this industry one more time,
yeah,
whoopity freaking do.
Yeah.
Wow, people actually pay you up front cash? Oh, you must be a bad company if you're paying COD.
Yeah. I'm thinking about now going, I would say to my vendor, put us on COD. Why? Make my operations better. That's what I'll do. But anyway, sorry.
So we had that meeting, and then we went in. Of course, there's a lot that happened between then, right?
Yeah.
But then Sunday night, we went in and whiteboarded what was going to happen the week. And the first thing we wrote down was, we've got $30,000. We're negative $30,000 in the bank account.
We have 12 hours before people are coming in this
building.
People
are coming in tomorrow morning to work.
Yeah.
What in the world are we going to do?
Yeah. So what do we do?
We put a plan together.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important thing I would say, is that we really just put a, whether the plan was to move forward or not, the important piece of that is you got to have a plan.
Yeah. Well, you did also get on the phone with some people that have big HVAC companies out west. And,
definitely got on with some industry leaders. And
you actually, Tom, and got on with Ken at one point. And they all said this: don't think that way. This is good. Move forward. Keep going.
I remember what Ken said to me. Because Ken called me when I was on a sales call. And like an idiot, I said, oh, I'm on a sales call. Can I call you back?
Yeah.
And, you know, as busy as he is, I'm sure that's what he really appreciated hearing, but that's what he heard. And he said, go add $1,000 to that sales call.
Yeah.
And Tom said to me, this is no reason to file bankruptcy. And they were just seeking, or sorry, I was seeking what I wanted to hear, and I finally got what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
They were what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
No, this could be done.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it was it could be done, but the really cool thing was all these people that were involved in my life prior to then that I picked up all these nuggets from, now I look back and go, oh, baby, watch out.
Yeah.
Watch out. Brian Dodge always said, don't back up in front of Bruce because he'll run you over.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like I was saying on the phone the other night, don't give us time. If you want to compete with Gammons, take away time. Which you, that means you'd have to shoot us. Well, I hope you don't do that. But
so that Monday,
you know,
I think we had a meeting with the team that Monday morning, right?
Yep. Probably one of the hardest meetings you can have with your employees. That.
And you hosted the meeting.
Yes. Because I thought it was very important that they knew where we were and what our plan was. And we're very transparent because, like you say, their kids depend on us. Their household depends on us. And that's a really hard meeting in front of 15 people. And, you know, we cut some fat that was really fat. It was not industry level people. But people stuck in there. And they did. We said, basically, here was the plan that we came up with that Sunday. We need to get sales going. And we need to collect deposits to get in the bank account. We got leads, or, you know, Jenna hashed up the leads. Really, you got in the sales car and went and got deposits.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's back up. So there was no sales leads without somebody hashing them.
Right. So Jenna hashing those leads were a big, that's a big nugget if you're struggling with business.
Okay. Write that down.
Harvest Jones. We had no money to market, and we had one day to start doing this.
If the grocery store is closed tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Starve to death? I hope not. Yeah. You know, when you have nice dirt in your backyard to go grow something, right? And we talked about earlier, it's our faith that got us through this. That was the leader in this anyways.
Yeah.
Somebody pushed us through this.
Well, that's a good point. So you do that. I mean, you literally landed an $80,000 job. That the guy was willing to pay us up front for
that week.
Right. So in the midst of all the things we're saying in that Sunday meeting, we got one shot at this, right? And then the next Sunday meeting, we got one shot at this. We have to follow this plan to a T.
Every week was one shot.
Every week, Sunday nights, we're meeting. Can we open the doors Monday? Can we open the doors Monday? And then we finally said, I remember saying this vividly. Look, the man above is letting this happen. So let's just roll and stop. You know, you would say that too. Let's just have faith that it's not one more shot. Every week we just need to get better. You know?
Yeah.
So
Jenna rehashed, went through our list of customers and just called to find any little nugget she could for weeks. Booking, following up, booking, texting, calling. Yeah. And we created some sales and got our install teams. We had, two teams probably going?
Yeah.
Three teams maybe.
Yeah.
Got them, as far as them, they were busy.
Right.
We really weren't, we don't know what, were we making money on the jobs? We don't know. We were putting money in the bank account to cover payroll.
Yeah.
We were paying for materials and keeping the place alive.
Yeah.
Then we put me back in the truck as far as
we didn't have. So after Jenna really had rehashed unsold estimates and just people that we didn't even answer back to, I mean, that were, you know, calling in, we didn't have anybody answering the phones at the time.
Right.
So we hired a phone company.
Right.
So, well, if we want to freaking get business, we need somebody to at least answer the phone. This is how bad it was. And my company was this bad too.
Well, no, and it's still this bad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I called a garage door company the other day. What did I tell you? They haven't even called me back.
Yeah.
The guy was actually frustrated I called to give him
another chance. Yeah. So then we
we had no money to market. Jenna had pretty much really maximized harvesting our crops at the time. So his dad said, I know how to do this. I got to get in the service van. We can't keep wasting those leads away.
Right.
And man, you ran hard.
That's right.
Well, unhealthily hard.
I said this, I'm not going to go waste any more service calls because those service calls need to be done right. I need to experience what the technicians are experiencing, how our software is working in the field, how the dispatching is working, all of it. I wanted to experience it all, the truck stock, what's in the truck. And yeah, that was
just painful, man. Oh my God, we had people pulling in, no brakes in the vans. We were like looking in the woods for spare tires, people popping tires, people come in and...
Hey, if you had a spare tire that was round... We loved you.
We were doing our own brakes in the garage.
Bill drove an hour to work with the e-brake on, using that to stop.
Nothing was registered. I mean, it was all insured, but our insurance company dumped us in the middle of it.
Canceled and doubled their prices.
Doubled their prices. It was an absolute mess, but you know what? I wouldn't change that for the world.
No way.
And then dad's running 7 days a week. This is summer, so AC is prime. And I mean, I was jumping in the service van with you, trying to learn some things with you.
But we knew this. Every single phone call, every text message, any email from customers were worth money.
And even the angry ones.
And we needed the money.
Yeah.
So even the angry ones. What did Roy say once to me? You've got three tries with a customer. They'll give you three tries. And they will.
Yeah.
So, back in the truck, because we knew every call was worth money, and I was tired of losing money on service calls. So, let's go maximize every call that we can. And let's make sure the customers are happy, because we can't afford another upset customer.
Right.
It doesn't want to pay us.
We couldn't afford to refund them. I mean, we had lost $100,000 in 1 week once refunding customers.
That's right.
And it was like two steps forward and that's 10 steps back.
Well, we had been funded through a finance company.
Yeah.
And then the customers were upset about the projects that were never managed right. And then the finance company pulled back the funds.
Yeah. Yeah, we were running service calls. I forgot about this. We were running service calls. We couldn't take a credit card and we couldn't take financing. The only way companies were allowed to pay us, customers, were by cash or check. You and I literally one night down the road here in Saco asked the guy, we'll take $150 off if you give us a check because we can't run it through a credit card.
That's right.
Our credit card processing locked us
up. Well, we could have. There was another issue behind that with a loan that the business had received, and the business wasn't paying the loan back. Well, they leaned our bank account and our credit card processing account, and so any funds that were running through the loan. Any funds that were running through the credit card company were locked up by this financing company. So we couldn't even take a credit card. That's right.
So,
we found out one thing. If you're not taking credit cards in business, you're in trouble because 95% of the customers, are the only way they can pay is with a credit card or a debit card, something. Nobody's got cash and nobody's got checks.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have personal checks anyways.
So here's another nugget, because Pastor Justin was talking about this morning. When trouble faces you, you instantly go back to old ways and the easy route out. So trouble faced Gammons, and the first answer was go get a loan. Do whatever it took to get money in the bank account. Not what, now we look at it as not what it takes to go create more money. It's get a loan. Take the easy, get money in. And obviously, looking back, it's proven we weren't making money. So how the hell are we going to pay that loan off?
All you're doing is buying yourself time to die.
And then we merged PG Electric in.
Right.
So we merged the electrical business, which was a mess. I had tried to throw my dad feedback to Parker.
Yeah.
Don't go work for contractors.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember you telling me as clear as day, these guys are such great guys and their story is amazing.
They are great guys. Some of people are going to listen that are contractors. You don't mean to, but there's a lot of things that happen. I can't build a relationship with the homeowner, which leads into marketing. I can't establish relationships with them so they can pass my word along, blah, blah, blah. The money, it's just so hard to track money when you're doing construction jobs. But yes, you're right. So we're sitting in this meeting and we're having fun. Dad and I are flying down to Texas, meeting marketing agents. We're meeting big companies. We went and visited $60 million in that area.
After we ran that summer in the trucks and I pretty much was going to light the truck on fire if I had to do another service call on the weekend. Yeah. It was literally 7 days a week.
So you shocked yourself so bad one time you sent me a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's like his whole arm was black.
On a late Saturday, yeah. So we ran hard for 7 days a week, and I don't regret any part of it, and I would jump back in the truck today and run hard, but that doesn't help the business.
My job was to do install management, and Jenna took over dealing with the sheriff every day that was dropping a lawsuit papers. She was dealing with the vendors attacking us. She was dealing with the noise, which is so hard to deal with, and it really bought us time to function. And she really took that on. It was meeting with insurance companies and that played such a big role in giving us the freedom. Cause I was really, my job was to make sure the installs are happening properly so that we weren't having to give refunds, which goes into another thing of training and having, but
I hope Al Levy listens to this.
Oh my God, Al, you were a lifesaver in that time. Everything was starting to click for us. So we went down to, we were all becoming a student of the craft. We're listening to podcasts, reading books, we're reaching out to authors on the books.
Yeah, people gave us too much time.
People gave us too much time. So we're flying down to meet big companies. And these people are literally, Elmer literally sat us down and said, dude, you should be so proud of yourselves for getting yourselves into this mat. Have pride. Walk around with pride. Pay your guys more. Make sure they walk around with pride. You're making your way out of this, and you will. And that was obviously a big,
Yeah.
We went down to the mass media, Roy. We have probably had no business talking with at the time. And they signed us up, we're working with Wizard of Ads. And
what was the first thing you said to Roy?
I want to know who you are. I had no clue who Roy was. Yeah,
thanks for opening up that can of worms that day.
So Roy spends 8 hours really teaching us who they are.
So you want to know who I am? You're going to find out who I am.
Yeah. And I love it. So we have a really great relationship with them, and we're kind of cooking our way out of this. And then I get an email that my business crapped the bed and I'm getting locked up by the vendors. And I go, well, it was nice working with you, but I gotta go. And obviously I'm mad. And that took a toll on Dad and I's relationship. It took a toll on,
I don't think there was anything said. You were just gone.
Yeah, I was gone. But the good news is because we just went through all this hell to get yours out, and then mine craps the bed, which I talked really highly about my people all the time. I put them on a pedestal, put myself on a pedestal. But the reality was I wasn't watching a damn thing that was happening there. And
that's why it's such an inspiration to me, because I jumped in the sales car, made some deposits, and then I got in a service van, and I'm rolling, like rolling. I remember my first month by myself in the van making 80 grand and keeping 30% of it. I said this, and I was trying to tell my guys, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. But they didn't like that. So half my team quits. I got to fire people because they don't want to believe in customer service. I've had really good relationships with people and they got destroyed, which is super unfortunate. Don't bring friends into business because they're your friends.
Yeah.
You will lose that relationship. It sucks. So now that we made it out, it's really, we're just talking a lot about how to grow and how to market. And I have to give a big thanks to Alan Rohr, who got on the phone with me, because I read her books and reached out to her. And she helped me twofold. Because I was like, I'm running all these calls, I'm 7 days a week, why aren't I making any money? You know? And at the time, like I said before, Caitlin was 6 months pregnant.
And if you just heard that, you should replay this, right? Why I'm running all these calls.
Yeah.
Why am I not making any money?
Yep, 100%. And I had no option but to. I would put your back against the wall on purpose, some of these people listening, if life's so good. Because all these things that Craig says it all the time, a lot of people do this by default, not by design. You will crash at some point if you're not doing things by design.
That was another good book that we both read, was Craig Arthur's.
Yes.
Craig's in Australia. And the name of that book, sitting over here. How to Win the Hearts and Money of and Loyalty of Profitable Customers.
It's a very important book, super easy to read.
Yeah, so we've been working with Craig a lot, and he's volunteered a lot of his time, which has been incredible.
Yes.
And, yeah. So you're back in the truck.
Yeah.
Ellen's giving you 15 minutes of no BS time on conversations. You better go do this or I'm out.
Yeah.
Which I've worked with a couple of companies and wished I had done the same thing sometimes. Because at the end, you just look bad.
Yeah.
So then what?
Now, I'm seeing how do I get to 2, 5, 10 million. I'm trying to, and I'm not stopping there. And, like you and I are going out west to take these shop tours. We're meeting with a couple of shops in April. We're doing a shop tour with Tommy. And we're really becoming a student. But, back to what I was saying, our backs were so against the wall. Like, Caitlin was 6 months pregnant. I'm barely cutting mortgage. And like you're saying, these people's lives are kind of in my hands. So...
yeah.
I just hope people don't take it to that point, though. Just listen to these podcasts and take the advice.
Go and implement these things.
And go implement them, because I wouldn't change it for the world, but it does stink when it comes through.
And the right people are out there that will help you.
Oh, my God. Do you, like, Ellen, who... is with Service Titan on Zoom, like free 15 minutes, or she'll answer my emails for free. These people are willing to help you.
She won't answer mine, but she's answering yours for some reason, so that's okay. Maybe someday she'll be on an episode here. I've known Ellen for years. She's
But just Al.
Good at what she
does. The operations man. So if you're in business, you need to know what your business is, where you're going. You need to have just a plan.
Let's back up. So we wanted to get on and talk about why we failed, but why do most people fail in business? Well, I'll bring up another key thing. Another book that I read was The E-Myth.
Yeah. That was the first one I read.
With Neil Gerber.
Yeah.
And Ken Goodrich.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of the, that was the start of the change. And Al Levy talked about that was the start of his change too.
Yeah.
But that, why do people fail? I can, there's a laundry list of things. Number one, they have no plan.
Yeah.
Why did you start a business?
Tradespeople are notorious for this too. They're like you and I, great employees somewhere. They got really good at the what hands-on stuff. Customers liked them, so they go get in their own van. And it's, I think it's really when you're trying to grow that you find out you just have a job. You don't know what business is. So I think that's a big thing. You got to know what business is and how, whatever you're getting into, what's your niche, what's your business. Don't do what we did. Oh, we're doing one, you know, $500,000 doing electrical. How do we grow? We add HVAC. If you can't master one thing, like, do what Dad and I did. Try to combine and just, you're just speeding up the death.
Yeah. You can't master one market. Why are you into another market?
Right. Like, me and you both have plans to expand into different markets, but there's zero chance that happens until you master one, you know?
And I recorded that video yesterday on Facebook when I was walking through the neighborhood. And all I could think about is all these homes have a heating system, air conditioning system. But I would say probably at least, I would think 90% of these homes do not use the contractor that put the system in or the same contractor that did their electrical wiring in the house.
Yeah.
That seems like a big problem to me. Why didn't they call you back? Why aren't you still there? How do they not know about you?
Right.
I understand some flip their businesses, may sell them, go out of business, they may retire. But most of these homes have systems that were installed by contractors who are still in business.
Right.
But they don't call that company back. So think about that in your own business. Are your customers calling you back?
Right. Definitely.
Or are you just going to go dump another 10, 20, 30% into marketing to get new customers? Because you can't even keep the damn ones you have.
Yeah. Are you a transactional company or are you a relationship company? Yeah. That's big.
Huge.
It's very, yeah. You want to talk about marketing costs? Be a transactional company.
Yeah. And why do these people that dive into your numbers go, oh, your marketing costs are through the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Marshmallow.
I don't have relationships with customers. I'm a marshmallow.
What are your customers saying about you?
Yeah.
You know, what's Al Levy say? Go get a testimonial.
Yeah.
Why do you make the decisions to buy some of the things you do? It's because what customers are saying about a product, typically.
Right.
Well, your business is a product. So what are customers saying about you? And are you getting testimonials that you can share?
Right.
So other people see what they're saying about you.
Right.
5-star reviews are great. Yeah. I think those are pretty easy to get.
100%.
But getting a video testimonial with the customers,
yeah,
not really the easiest thing to do for most people.
Yeah, and here's another big nugget that we decided when, you know, we were trying to climb Mount Everest. angry customers, go toe-to-toe with them. Don't run. Toe-to-toe meaning get the feedback from them. You have control to fix what you created. That's easy. That's so, walking up to an angry customer, have the confidence you know how to turn it around. You know how to make things right. If they want money back, you know, you probably should give them the money back if you screw it up that bad and make it right still. Go toe-to-toe with them. A lot of people just get ghosted, you know, and that was a big thing Dad and I had to realize. We got to make a list of the angriest customers. We got to go meet them face to face and figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, a lot of people run from, if they screw up a little bit, they run. And that turns into bad word of mouth. It's not a relationship. So.
Yeah, turn, those people are going to market your business in one direction or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, SEO companies have, I've been in the works with, and What do the big players say to me? I've reached out to all of them. Shut up about SEO. Go boots to the ground and get your brand where people like it and they share it. You know, that's what you need to be worrying about right now. And I agree. Networking.
Your brand. And not your brand is not, you know, you're not your logo.
Right. Yeah.
Your brand is not your logo.
Like we said to in the meeting with the employees, your brand, our brand is dependent on you guys.
Your brand is what people are saying about you. And by the way, to back up what we talked earlier, that we had that tough conversation with those employees, and 85% of them are still with us today.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Those guys will get rewarded big time for that.
There's still, so transparency, that's key. Being transparent with your customers.
Right.
Being transparent with your employees.
Yeah.
Being transparent at home.
So back to why businesses fail, like shooting off the hip, I can think of. You don't know what you're in business for.
Yep.
You're not priced right. You have no idea what your pricing is, which leads to you don't know how to grow because you don't have a game plan to grow.
That's probably the number one problem in most small businesses is they are not priced right. And they don't understand why they're not priced right.
Right.
And again, in coaching is another one of my frustrations when I walk in and tell somebody, you need to double your hourly rates.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I think if I was to coach again and pick up another client and they ever sell me that again, I'm immediately out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm out. I mean, you saw what happened with me and my company. When I decided to get, look, the conversation was, this is my fault. I'm pointing everything towards me, right? But I'm trying to fix it. One of the things that we need to fix, guys, we need to sell at this price.
Or gals.
Right. We need to sell at this price. Oh. And that's what, when you know your price right, is you're going to say that. By the way. Oh, crap. We better be valuable now. We better look good. We better talk, you know, walk the talk. We better put our money where our mouth is. Yeah, you should be saying that. That's when you know your price right.
Now you've got to step up your game.
Now you got to be you got to be a valuable company. And I lost a really good friend in my business because I was looked at as almost like a really bad person for jumping the prices that high.
Yeah, you're a price gouger.
I said, remember vividly saying this. Well, we're going out of business anyways. So what do we have to lose? You know?
That's right.
And like you said the other day, if you're, you know, if you had low prices before and you raise your prices because you had to come to Jesus moment, oh my gosh, I have been screwing this up. Now it's really hard to go sell that new price because you're so used to selling the old one. So, you know, if you're listening, I would look into that immediately. That would be my first step because it was mine. You get so tired of running calls all the time. You know what happened with my business? Actually, you know what? This is how I made it out of my business. I started working half as much for double the price. That's how I made it out of my business. And I'm on to, you know, bigger and better things.
True story.
Because you know what? This leads into your employees not being stressed out all the time. You can actually have meetings and train. You can have a training center that we're building right now. You can have employees that is focused on the call they're on. They're not screaming to get to the next call. So 3 calls a day maximum, right? 4 maybe. But guess what? The one you're on is the most important. It allows employees time to actually spend building a relationship with the customer. And then you're priced for that. They can have vacation. They got PTO. You can reward them with performance pay. Pricing is so big. Training is another one of these big things, but pricing, if you're priced wrong, you're going
what do I say all the time? I say vendors that give you a line of credit right out of the gate are screwing you, because now it's a slow, painful death. You don't even know it's there until they're emailing you.
That's right.
So if you're on line of credit operating and you don't know what your pricing is, I would freaking go on COD right now, because you're slowly, painfully killing yourself.
Well, I think that's key, right? And if you can't go on COD, if you can't go on COD, stop.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's a major problem.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a major problem. So if you can't, actually, that's a good point, Parker. If you can't run your business on a cash basis where you actually pay your bills.
Yeah.
Isn't that a problem anyways?
100%.
So yeah. Stop. I understand there's times when you need to be on a monthly charge with the way certain businesses operate. And then,
yeah. Now you're talking about the word leverage. That's way different than the word being, you don't even, what is it? Like, I don't know. I'm not that smart. You don't even know what's happening. Right. But I'm sorry, this is probably way too long for a podcast, but we're very passionate about this. And that's the point of this podcast, is we're on the up and up. We went through our crap and we're going to keep going. And we really want to try to give some nuggets out there to the smaller guys, you know.
And we need to, you know, we'll have to figure out a way for us people to reach us. Maybe we'll put get a Facebook group called the Marshmallows.
That's a good point. That's a good idea.
So you might be able to reach out to us on that, or, you know, maybe one of these podcasts will get a actual email set up so people can reach out to us and
really quick,
not to tell us what we're doing wrong, but people that want to reach out and have interest in,
we're not podcasters here. We're not marketing people for what we're doing or advertising. This is strictly to network and help however we can, and hope people chime in and help us. But I forgot to mention, so we talked about how why things fail, and we just gave a long story on how to get out of failure, and it's called bootstrap. Get familiar with that word.
Yeah.
Bootstrapping is get your arse in the vans with the techs, get your arse in the CSR center, get your arse in the financial aspect of it. You have to dive. Nobody's going to care as much as you. You have to go in there and see what the experience is for your employees and your customers. And those two people will tell you exactly what's wrong with your business.
Do you remember what Ken Goodrich said, the first place to go look at in a business is the customer call service center. Center, right? Go listen to the calls.
Yeah. I used to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning listening to the calls. I said, we're throwing away I'm not lying when I say this, hundreds of thousands of dollars by not answering the phones correctly.
Most businesses are. Wouldn't you say? Most
people are bleeding. Like I say, the worst part is you don't even know what's happening because you're not tracking anything, you know? That is the worst part. Oh, get into SEO. Get into Facebook marketing. Guess what?
Go fix your average ticket. Go fix your leads that you have. Go fix your process. Do you have a process?
Yeah, do you even have it? Yeah.
Do you have a system?
100%. Go fix your land before you try to... It's just...
Yeah, you're going to go pay taxes on somebody else's property?
Yeah.
How about you maximize your own, right? All right. So nobody can contact us this time. Except the people that already know us, if they happen to listen to us. Hopefully we get an audience going. Hopefully people will share this podcast. And we'll create another one soon.
Bootstrap it. Let's go.
Yeah. Go fail.
See if this thing did it right that time.